Anticipate and think about it. We're going to read a scripture in Romans 13 and 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Our salvation is nearer than when we believe. So the scripture let us know that it is high time that we do what? But we can't do that unless we know what time it is. We got to know what time it is. And see, the Bible already told us in Acts that in the last days, God was going to do something. He was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So we know it is the last day. That's one of the things that we know. It's the last days. Right. And then we got to wake up out of sleep. Now, Minister Cam, what do you think about this knowing the time?
Well, one of the things about knowing the time, you know, whether you're talking about natural or spiritual, you got to have some kind of way to gauge it.
Right, right.
Got to be able to gauge the time.
Right.
And I can ask any of these young kids here, you know, what time is it? You know, somebody's going to either look to a clock, a phone, a watch, or something.
That's right. That's
so if
right.
We're talking about spiritual time, some kind of way we've got to gauge it by the one who controls the spirit.
That's right.
So we got to gauge it. We got to search the scriptures, as Elder Marvel was teaching last night.
That's right.
To see what it said about it. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3 and 1. Let's find out about these times.
That's right.
And then somebody tell me what time it is.
That's right.
Just based on looking at God's watch, so to speak. And it reads, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Now, you don't have to be a holy person to understand this day and time. It is a perilous time.
It's a perilous time.
I don't know a time in my life where you go to the gas station and somebody driving up to your car, getting out of their car, getting into your car. And if you don't give it up, they'll take it.
That's right. That's right.
And as I heard one of the brothers teaching this week, saying that it used to be where they would come in and used to try to come in when you wasn't at home and
That's
steal
right.
your stuff.
That's right.
Now they're coming in your house, whether you're there or not, to steal your stuff. And then after you give it up, they may still take your life. So we're in a perilous time this day. And it goes on to talk about, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Somebody tell me, are we in the last time?
Yes, yes.
Lovers of them own selves, their own selves. Everything is about I.
Right.
About me.
Right.
My way.
Right.
My feelings.
Right.
I think.
Right.
But what about God's way? What about what God says about it?
Right.
"For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous," certainly so, "boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers." Do I need to go any further? I believe we know it's the last day.
It's the last day.
So that's what we're talking about. We're in the last days. And I'll go just a little bit further than that. It says, "false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof."
That's
so
right.
Now I can take that step and get away from looking at what them folks doing out there.
Right.
Now let's bring this into the church, because it doesn't do me any good to talk about what Paul or Peter said
right.
in his day if we're not going to apply it to 2017 in our day.
That's right.
So let's look at this, denying the power thereof, just a little bit. As we said before, this great gospel that has been going on this week,
right, right.
That ought to take a little bit more precedence than what I'm binge watching my favorite show.
Right.
Hear me.
Right.
We have got to put some effort into what we have here. If not, we're going to be just like the ones that this is talking about in these last days.
Right.
We're going to have a form of godliness.
Right.
But we denying that power that is coming forth. So what kind of power would we be talking about?
Right, right.
In these last days.
Well, like just going back to what we talked about earlier, in the last days, this is the era of the Spirit of God. Because there was a time when the Spirit of God moved among men, but it didn't live in men. But in the last days, God said he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So now, in the time, knowing the time that we're in, this is a time that we should make sure that the Spirit of God rests and abides with us.
Right.
We got to know that. And the way we know that, like he was talking about looking at a clock, well, this is our clock, the scripture.
Yes. Yeah.
If we know that we are in doing things of sin, we know according to the clock that we don't have the Spirit of God. Because if we're born of the Spirit as the Spirit of God, then we don't commit sin.
Right.
So we got to know the time that we are living in is a time to be saved and sanctified. Because we're looking at the outside world, imagine that time, but is a relationship between that time and us.
Right.
Because the Bible says he do what? He'll come quickly.
Yes.
And his reward will be with him to give every man. We don't know when our time on earth is going to be cut short. So we got to know what time it is in our life. Am I taking the gospel serious enough?
Right.
Am I taking it serious enough? So these are some of the things of why it is important to know what time it is.
Right.
It's important to know that. Right. Somebody tell me, why is it important for you? Why is it so important to know it to you as an individual?
To know what time it is.
To know what time it is. In the natural life, if we know we got to be to work at 8 o'clock,
amen. That's what I was
saying. Then we prepare ourselves early enough so we get to start work on time.
Amen.
Why? We know what time the job starts. Now, what about if we know what time church starts?
Come on, you're talking.
Do we know what time it starts? And sometimes, and I've seen this happen, we'll get busy right about church time. And then we rush it. I've done it. You get to rushing in. You're trying to get everything out of the way. I got to get to church. And then you come in 5 minutes late. 6 minutes late. And I ain't saying something I hadn't done. But in studying this, I'm seeing more, too, why it's so important, this time that we got, because maybe a prayer or a testimony will help us go through the times that we're living in. It'll help us. But if I miss that, I done missed the blessing from God.
So in saying that, on those jobs, back to exactly what you said, if I know I got to be there at 8 o'clock, I got to get up before that because I know that if I don't make it to work on time and I keep not making it to work on time, it's some consequences.
It's some consequences. That's right.
And I think maybe we don't think so much about, in God's plan, the consequences.
The consequences, that's right.
We don't think about the consequences. So I have to ask this question, just like his question. What time do we need to get up to be ready for salvation with God?
Right.
Now.
Right.
Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time. The Bible talks about, awake thou that sleepeth and rise from the dead. And I don't think I'll ever forget that scripture.
Right.
When I came to St. James, I always remember this, and I think this kind of struck a chord in me. I could hear Brother Miller, you know, being told to get the scripture, and I can hear Bishop Jeffrey saying, wake up! And he would hammer that thing. And that's where we meet, that's where we need to be this day and time. Elder Stacy talked about it. Talked about us being asleep. Not a natural sleep, but it's like we're in a spiritual sleep. We're getting comfortable with sin. Things that used to be bad ain't so bad now.
Right.
We're getting comfortable with it. And I do understand there are some things that we have to learn to tolerate that it exists, because God didn't give us anything but love.
Right.
So if we want to talk about homosexuality, There's no hatred we can have for the homosexual because God didn't give us that.
That's right. Right.
We don't have that. But the thing about it, we can't accept that that is right. God still said, I made them male and
female.
And that's what he got. And he did not forget. When he said he left his church in the earth and he's coming back to receive it unto himself, he did not forget what he left.
That's true.
And he knows exactly what he's coming back to receive. And that's what we have got to be a part of. But there's so many other things, so many more things that just fight us for our time now.
Right, right.
That we give up our time, that we think about, well, I would go to church, but maybe I'll go tomorrow.
Yeah.
General Assembly comes one time a year.
Right.
And I'm talking about I might go tomorrow.
Right.
We need to consider these things.
Right.
We got to awake from our sleep.
Out of sleep.
And arise from the dead.
Right.
And let Christ give us some life.
That's right.
We've got to do that.
What did Jesus, how did the scripture describe Jesus as coming? Quickly. That's one of them. And as what? As a thief in the night. And when a thief comes, why does a thief come at night? He comes as a thief in the night because people not aware. And like he said, they got to awake. But the scripture in Thessalonians say, we are not of them that's in the darkness.
Right.
See, for us, we got to know, because we know Jesus coming quickly, and because we know he's going to come among in the world as a thief in the night, that means we have to always be what?
I'll be watching.
Watching. Awake. Praying. And prepared.
Yes.
See, we got to be prepared when Jesus Christ come, if he come in our life. Even if we don't see him come in the clouds of glory at this time,
exactly right.
You know, while we living, but there's going to be if we live long enough, we're going to fall asleep.
Right, right.
Do anybody know the day they're going to die? Any of y'all know when y'all going to die? Are you preparing to die? This is what this is about. We are preparing ourselves so that when the Lord come back or we go to sleep, we'll be ready for him to receive us.
Right, right.
So we know that. We know that's what time it is. So what kind of church is he coming back for? And the church is the people, right?
Right, right.
What kind of people? And you a member in what? That's right. You a member in particular. You supply something to the church because you're part of the body. So he coming for a church without what?
Spot.
Or any such
thing. Or any such thing. So how do we know that we don't have any such thing in us in this day and time that we live in? How do we know that?
By the scripture.
By the scripture. Searching ourselves.
So, Mr. Pullen, can I ask you, what any such thing look like?
Well,
I know, you know, after seeing that Bible bowl, I know we know the scripture.
We know the scripture.
But what in 2017, what does any such thing look like? Or what does a spot or wrinkle look like in 2017? Now, that's a question. And how they say, that's one of the big softball questions. Somebody ought to hit that one. What does it look like?
What does it look like?
Well, let's flip the script. What does a saint look like?
Right.
What does the saint look like that doesn't have the spot or the wrinkle or the any such thing? This is the Holy Church, and I know it is. I've been here about 30-some years.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Camp. If I stay home because I'm upset with the usher or the choir director or the preacher, is that an any such thing?
I would be checking my garments for spots. That's an any such thing.
That's an any such
That's
thing.
That's an any such thing.
Because God the one told me to come. See, I can't get mad at somebody in the church, and the scripture told me not to forsake and assemble myself together.
Exactly.
Right. As I see this day approaching.
Right.
And I see the day approaching. I'm being warned the day approaching. And then I'm a forsaken assemble myself. We talked about being late, but it's better to get there if you're going to be late. Get there. Don't. That's an any such thing. What else is an any such
what
thing?
What if I have this great, and y'all been saved and sanctified, filled with the mighty burning fire for 30 years, and have a great relationship with God, but my brother and sister not so much. Is that an any such thing?
I think that's an any such thing.
That might be an any such thing.
How you got this relationship with God, this mighty burning fire, and you can't love the brother you see every day, but you love the God you don't see?
That was my testimony.
That was your testimony. But see, that testimony don't fit the scripture.
Come on.
Because the scripture says, how can you love somebody you haven't seen and then don't love the one you see every day?
Right, right.
And if you love somebody, and you got to love your enemy too now.
Yes, sir.
Can you go around not forgiving them?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. And also, and I know these things, we kind of make it kind of light. But these are things that we have got to examine ourselves. And see if we're in the faith. We just got to do it. You got to take on this thing for yourself. And examine this for yourself. To see if you're in the scripture. I heard Elder Jones talking about this body of Christ now. Now, Christ has his body made up. He ain't got just no anything in his body.
No.
Not just no anything. Everything that's in Christ's body is going to be supplying.
Right.
It's going to be supplying the thing that God wants it to supply.
Yes.
And we can't just fake God out and just going to be in God's body anyhow.
No, sir.
So that's why we need to search the scripture, and we need to search ourselves daily.
Search
ourselves. Examine ourselves.
Right.
Examine ourselves. Not coming in here and hear some great preaching that Elder Jones might have preached and tell my man he sure hit them. But what about me?
That's right. That's right.
What about them any such things that might be in my life?
Right.
We have got to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. And then there's another benefit to this thing.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we're looking at just about saving ourselves, and that's what we should do.
Right, right.
Save ourselves. But just like my foot supplies something to my body, my knee supplies, my arm supplies, my hand supplies, eyes, all these things take up to make up Christ's body.
Right.
Well, where are you going with that, Minister Kemp? Well, according to what I read, the Bible said God is a spirit.
Right.
God is a spirit. You got folks going around here today saying he don't exist.
Right.
Well, I ask you, what's the proof?
Right.
What's the proof that God exists? Somebody ought to raise their hand and say, I am.
That's right. That's right.
Come on now.
Amen.
We make up Christ's body, and that is what the world is going to look on. If Christ is going to exist, he's going to exist in us, in his people, by his spirit.
Right.
By his spirit. You can tarry all you want to for the next 30, 40, 50 years. But except you got God's spirit, you're none of his, according to the scripture.
That's right.
But if we got God's spirit, talked about a little bit of St. James, if you plant a seed, Bible talks about the same thing. I plant a corn seed, I'm expecting the corn stalk to come up.
Right.
Well, what if we plant a spirit seed?
Right.
Somebody tell me what we expect to come up.
Spirit.
Spirit. What it's going to look like? What's growing on that tree?
Good fruit.
Somebody said love?
Right.
Well, what if you think you planted a spirit seed, and when it starts coming up on your tree, and you see something that don't fit those fruits that the Bible recommended.
Right, right, right.
I heard Elder say, prune it.
Prune it.
Now, and hear what he's saying. In pruning that thing now, he's sparing you a little bit because he could have said just cut it down and hewn it to the fire.
Right.
To the fire. But I say for you, for us, if you see some things that are not looking like favoring God's spirit tree, you're in the right place. This is the hospital here. This is the place of correction.
Right, right.
I'd rather get rebuked by Ella Battle than get rebuked by God in that day. Hear me.
That's right.
Because Ella Battle, he going to rebuke me because he sees something and he loves me. And he wants to clear that thing. But when God does it, it's going to be judgment because I failed to repent after he gave me time.
That's right.
So let us examine ourselves and be a part of this thing this time that we have.
Right. That's right.
And so we might need to look at, our time. How do we redeem that?
Yeah, how to redeem that time. And we're going to talk about redeeming the time, but I want to put in knowing the time is one other thing I want to mention. And it's because we've been hearing it over and over, especially for the last few years. It is time to get perfect.
Come on, sir.
To get perfected in the love of God.
Yes, yes.
To get perfected in the things that we are doing in righteousness.
Yes.
It's that time now.
Yes.
And the reason I know it's that time, because the leadership, the message from the leader has been telling us that. And God placed him in the church, along with others, to perfect the saints.
Yes.
And the reason he's preaching it is because we got to be perfect.
Got to be.
That's what time it is.
Right. Right.
It's time to be perfected in God. We can't push it aside no longer.
Right, right, right.
We can't ignore it. Because the message of the gospel is out there.
Yes.
Be perfect because the Lord your God is perfect.
Yes.
As for God, his way is perfect. After we suffer a while, he make us perfect.
Amen.
That's the time it is today.
It is.
And so we got to redeem the time.
Yes.
Minister King.
In redeeming time, I think it's talking about we need to get full value out of it.
Full value. Yes.
We need to get full value out of the time. And part of the reason we need to get full value of the time because the Lord said he is coming back.
He's coming back.
We get 2 Peter 3 and 9, real quick, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
He's coming back. And he made all these precious promises unto us.
Yes.
And the ones we like to hear, don't we like to hear how God made the promise of eternal life unto us?
Yes.
I like that. I think that is beautiful, knowing that I ain't worthy of none of that. Worthy of none of that. And he promised before I was in the world or before the world was, made the promise of eternal life unto us.
That's right.
But then the ones a lot of people like to shy away from is the ones about his wrath.
Right, his wrath.
Well, that's a promise too.
That's a promise too.
2 Peter 3, 9, real quick.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
He ain't slack. What he said he's going to do, he's going to do.
That's right.
Well, for the ones that don't want to heed to this, yeah, that's a problem. But to us who are getting this great instruction, that is the greatest thing in the world because God said he's going to do what he said he's going to do.
That's right.
What's written in the scripture.
That's
his
right.
His reward is there.
Right.
And he's going to reward us.
Right.
Not slack concerning his promise.
As some men count slackness.
Some men count slackness. Come on.
But is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish.
That is a promise.
That's a promise.
That is a promise. And I like looking at my young folks when I say this because God ain't willing that you perish. Because sometimes we get these things in our mind thinking that we just can't be fixed.
Right.
God is not willing that you perish.
Right.
God said so.
Right.
And that's a promise.
That's right.
God not willing that any should perish.
But that all should come to repentance.
Well, that's the plan that is out there.
Right.
That's the plan. So for everybody, the plan is out there. For whatever you did, it does not matter for what you did. The plan is out there, the repentance, if you come to him.
Right.
Now that blasphemy of the Holy Ghost might be a problem unto you. Because what it is, you're not going to come to the one that has the solution.
That's right.
You're not going to come to the propitiation for your sins.
Right.
Because you're blaspheming against it. And you're walking away from it.
Right.
That's the solution.
Right.
Read on.
But the day of the Lord will come.
It's going to come. And that's what we're here to say. That is part of it too. That's a promise. It's going to come. As a thief in the night. Come on.
In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise.
Go ahead.
And the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Yes.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
It's going to be burned up.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness.
You ought to be redeeming the time.
Redeeming the time.
You ought to be redeeming it.
Right.
Getting full value of this thing. When what you hear, and I'm really focusing on this faith thing. I've heard Elder Battle preaching. I've heard Elder Dennis teaching on faith. And what I have concluded in this thing, what you know to do, do.
Do.
Do it. Not do it because of Bishop Jeffries, but do it because you love God.
Right, right, right.
The folks of old time had plenty of instructions. They had the law. They had an advantage, and I heard somebody preach that this week. The Jews, they had an advantage in every way because they had the oracles of God.
Right.
Right there.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you, you got the oracles of God right there now for us.
That's right.
They're right here for us. But they failed because lack of faith. They didn't have faith in those things.
Right.
They were looking for another law to fix the solution. And sometimes it looked like we look for a New Testament law to fix the solution instead of having faith and belief in God. Well, what am I saying? Well, let's quit beating up the mothers of the church, asking them what the sleeve length need to be. And let's move past that.
Right.
It's time to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on to perfection.
On to perfection.
Go ahead.
That's right. That's so true. We got to go on to perfection. And what we want to talk about a little now in terms of redeeming the time.
Yes.
What are some of the things we have to do to make use of the time as we ought to? Because, you know, normally when you talk about redemption, you're talking about buying back.
Right.
Well, you can't go buy back time you done lost. That ain't what it's talking about. You can't go back and do yesterday, today, what you should have done yesterday. I mean, you can do that, but you can't go back into yesterday. That's what I'm saying. So when we're redeeming the time, we are making use of the time that we have today.
Come on.
What are some of the things that is very important for us to be doing today, making use of the time that God has given us as saints, as believers?
Yes.
Somebody tell me something you need to be doing. Assembling yourself together. Why should you be doing that today? Why? To get the information, because faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And the just live by what?
By faith.
So we cannot get the faith we need unless we come hear the words of faith from the preacher.
Right.
Yeah, we can read up on it, and God will bless you for reading, but you got to come hear a preacher. You got to come.
Got to come.
If you don't come, you're not going to get the faith that you're supposed to have. Deacon Tim. Prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer. That's another thing you got to do. You got to pray. He said, build up yourself on what?
Most holy thing.
Praying where? Men ought to always
pray
and not quit. So those are some of the things we're doing in order to redeem time. And it would be real nice if we pray at 8:30 with all the saints.
Right.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? I know a lot of us can't do it. Maybe you're working or whatever. But the more we do it, the better it is. Ella Vista.
Serve.
Serve. Now, what does serving look like?
Humbling my... Go ahead.
Helping one another.
I have to ask Brother Fred now, if I'm helping you, am I the head of that? I need to humble myself, don't I? Talk now. That's what I'm talking about.
We got to humble ourselves to who? One another.
To one another.
That's correct.
Yeah. What about letting brotherly love continue?
Letting brotherly love continue.
Brotherly love. That's some good scripture, too. And I understand it real good because I was almost the youngest of four brothers. I had one that came on like 5 or 6 years later. But when you're the youngest for a little while, you understand what letting brotherly love continue. Because you don't always get the good end of the stick, so to speak.
Right.
And the only way we're going to know that love work is our love got to be tried.
Got to be tried.
I think that's been preached this week.
Yes, yes.
Our love got to be tried.
got to be tried.
So what about my love get tried and I ain't going back to that church no more? All them folks like that. Let brotherly love continue.
Let it continue.
Go ahead.
Brother Baker, how you doing? What you say? I can't hear you.
Examine yourself
daily.
Yes, yes.
Very, very important. And what do we examine ourselves by? I see your mother. By the word of God. And the thing about it, and I want to emphasize, it's the word of God you've been taught.
Right.
Not some word of God somebody on TV with a lot of fake healing doing. Don't examine yourself by that. Examine it by the true gospel that you're being taught. Because if you start examining yourself by anything that says the word of God, it'll throw you into an error. You want to examine yourself by what the true church preaching. The teaching you're getting right here according to the scripture.
Right.
Mother, Glover. Remembering the poor. You're redeeming the time. When you know, it was a curious thing in the Bible. When John sent his disciples to question Jesus, and one of the things Jesus said, and it really struck my attention, he said, tell John that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Now, seeing like that shouldn't have been such a big issue.
Right.
But evidently it was, because the scripture said that he was going to set the captives free.
Right.
And so having the poor, a lot of us would be poor today.
Right.
If it weren't for the gospel. Because in the gospel there's instruction on how to live and how to prosper in this life.
Right, right.
It's very important.
Right. Right.
What else? How do you redeem the time?
Now, one of the things the book talked about is, let us not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Right.
We got to start understanding what God's will is. And one of the things I learned through the teaching that's been down through the years, the will of God is not just to build buildings and organization.
Now, that's true.
Bricks and mortar is not necessarily his body.
No.
Just because it's got a steeple doesn't mean it is God's body.
Right.
But I have an individual duty to do to make sure that I'm part of God's body.
Right.
That I'm part of his body. That I line up with what his word is. And not only so, it goes beyond that of me just trying to obey scriptures.
Right.
With my natural self.
Right.
I got to get this thing by God's spirit.
By the spirit. That's right.
I have got to get the spirit of God. And that is one of the things that we need to focus on. As a people, sometimes it's like we're shy of that, like we fear. You're saying, you know, I'm saved.
Right.
I got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Or if you want to be more proper, I got the Holy Spirit.
Right.
However you want to do it, we need it. Because except we do that, all these things that we're talking about, you have no power.
No power.
You have no power to accomplish it. You start going back looking at where in 13th chapter 1 Corinthians, where it talks about charity.
Right.
And you keep going down through there. That, yes, might be, sir, some things you can accomplish.
Right.
But I'm telling you, you're going to hit some roadblocks. If you ain't got no power, you're just not going to do it.
That's right.
Even when it starts talking about in Matthew, loving your enemy.
Loving your enemy.
That sounds real good. Rolls off the tongue real good. But right. Except you got some power, you're speaking in vain.
That's true.
So we have got to come here and got to believe in the things that we hear.
Right.
Believe it to the saving of our soul, till we're doing something about it.
Right.
Not just believing that Christ died on the cross and his blood has cleansed us from all sin.
Right.
Well, I think the scripture talk about if we walk in the light as he is in the light, his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But what if we're not walking in the light?
Right.
Well, his blood and his dying was just in vain for you. So let us do these things. I'm telling you, the time is short. Let us get full value of it. And us older people, you know what we need to do? We need to be more of an example to these younger folks.
Yes, yes.
Be more examples of being faithful. And don't go home talking against the church. Come on now.
That's right.
You're doing those things, what you're doing, you're just cutting off your offspring.
Right.
You're messing up your own offspring. Because God got a way. His way is going to be right. Yes, Sister Lisa. I say so. And you know what? And that's not just, you know, every now and then getting a song and all that kind of thing. We ought to have that in our spirit. Even when we're going through our trouble, God ought to be the one that we praise. He's the solution. He's the remedy. That's the one that we ought to lean on. And we ought to be to a point where we say, well, you know, I believe God is coming.
Right.
And if you don't come, it ain't because you can't. I still believe you have all the power. You're the solution. And praise him in all of that.
Right.
Praise him in your trouble. And I know that's a hard thing to do sometimes. When you're going through some kind of ailment, some kind of physical pains or troubles or some financial distress. But I'm telling you, that is our remedy.
Right.
That is the answer. That's the answer.
Right. Deacon Tim. Putting on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
That is so true. The whole armor. Sister Hutchinson, Mother Hutchinson.
Having the Holy Ghost.
Having the Holy Ghost.
Got to have it.
That's what he was talking
about.
Having the Spirit of God.
Got to have it. I'm telling y'all, we have this great opportunity. Great opportunity right now. Y'all, we got a hand? Uh-oh. When you come in the house of God, the Word of God will show you the things that you need to take off. And the things you need to replace it with. You need to be pulling off and putting on.
Right.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Wonderful. Anybody else? We have a great opportunity. The gospel is coming to us without fear.
We don't have
to fear. Yes, sir.
A couple of scriptures I want to read. And this is one, because we're living in perilous times, there's something that we got to do. The Bible says, follow peace.
Amen.
See, it's in the church and out the church. You got to follow peace. Because the world is so confused, you know you ain't going to get in too many arguments with them. They're gonna take retribution against you. And it's the same way in the church. And Ella Battle taught this the other night. It's been with me ever since. It's in Colossians 3. And I'm going to start at the 14th verse. And it says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And this 15th, and let the peace of God rule
Wonderful. In
your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. If we have an attitude of following peace, we know what time we're in, we know we got to stay prepared for God, then we got to let God's peace rule in our heart.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like what you said, I don't like how you said it. But I got to let God's peace rule me. I can't get all upset and fight back at you or nothing like that. I got to be forbearing. I got to be forgiving. I got to look at myself and see if I'm the problem.
Right, right. You talking.
We got to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And when that peace of God rule in our hearts, we'll see ourselves going up even higher and higher and higher. You know, when the people was building the Tower of Babel, you know why they was able to accomplish? They was working together.
Together.
And they was communicating the same way. And to stop that, God stopped them from being able to communicate. And when they couldn't communicate, they couldn't work together. And sometimes, in order to keep the peace, we just need to talk.
Right, right, right.
I didn't like what you said. You didn't. I didn't mean no harm. Oh, you didn't? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I thought like that. And then we'll find out a lot of time when we communicate with one another, then a lot of misunderstandings and confusion, it'll disappear. It won't be there. It was just something in my mind. So we got to learn that when we're redeeming this time, let God's peace rule. Let it rule. And the other one is, it's in Peter 4 chapter, starting at the 7th verse. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. But soberness is a very important part of living holy and using the time right.
Yes.
That's clear thinking. We got to think sometimes.
Right.
We can't always move too fast. We got to think about what we're doing and see if we're doing it right. And sometimes when we're thinking about it and we can't come to a conclusion, what should you do? Hold your peace.
Pray about it.
Pray about it. Yeah. Seek counsel. Because sometimes somebody, particularly the leadership, the pastor, he might know what you're dealing with. And he can counsel you in the right direction if you just go ask the question. Once the scripture says communicate with those that are able to teach all things. And a lot of time, in this day and time we're living in, we think we know too much, or we think we know enough. Hmm. And a lot of time, I heard bishops say sometimes, you know, they do all right, and they go to thinking.
They're going to think their best stuff.
Long as they follow the instruction, they're okay. When they go to thinking, and sometimes we overthink things, and then we get in trouble.
And I think on too, just like you said, in the redeeming time, one of the reasons we need to redeem the time too, because the day is coming that we're going to be redeemed of God.
Yeah,
God is going to redeem unto himself a people. And he talks about that in Titus, second chapter, it started about 11 verse. We'll read through that, and that's going to about conclude me. But
yes, sir.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And we've heard these scriptures down through the years. But that grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Right. We understand that all of us are in a process.
Right.
This is a process. Right. I understand we ain't walking the door and we just totally saved and a strong saint the next day. This thing, it's a process.
It's a process.
But what I'm telling you is wherever you are, you be encouraged and stay on the ship.
Yes.
And stay within this process.
Yes.
And keep building up. But don't sleep thinking that time is just going to keep going, that you got time to pick flowers. But God is going to redeem himself a people. He's coming. He's told us he's coming. And I understand that. Somebody might say, well, you know, Bishop Lucas' granddaddy said Jesus was coming. But I heard Minister Shevick say, well, Jesus might not come in your life, but trust me, you definitely going to put this one off.
That's right.
And the day you put this one off, he might as well have come.
Right.
Because you've done all the work you're going to do in this body. So I'm encouraging us, let's get the value out of what's being taught. Let's get the value.
Right.
The message that's going to come tonight. Let's see what we can get for us.
Right.
Let's see what I can get for me, where I can come up. Let's make sure if I'm not saved, what's hindering me?
That's right.
If I don't have the Spirit of God, what's in my way?
Right.
Well, if it's the elders and ministers not addressing what they ought to address, tell us what we need to address. That's what Bishop said.
Right.
Let us know what the problems are.
Right.
And I guarantee you it's the Word of God that will work on it.